Great moments are born from great opportunity.
Six players, six teammates.
You all know what you have to do. No one, and I mean no one, comes into our house and pushes us around.
Not talk about the next step until you climb the one in front of you.
This is your time.
This is where we have been. This is how we got here. This is who we are. This is our past. Gentlemen.
Now it's time to see who has the heart.
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward.
In this lifetime, you don't have to prove nothing to nobody except yourself.
Don't get caught up thinking about winning or losing this game.
Can you live in that moment?
You're bigger, faster, stronger, more experienced. And on paper, they're just better.
If we played them 10 times, they might win 9.
Forget about the crowds, the size of the school, their fancy uniforms, and remember what got you.
Tonight, we skate. Together. We stay with them. And we shut them down because we can.
Now is the time to prove to yourselves and prove to everyone out there
that you did everything that you could. There wasn't one more thing that you could have done.
If I become someone I'm not, if I sink to their level,
it's over.
But you can walk through those doors, hold your heads up.
That's how winning is done.
How you play today, from this moment on, is how you will be remembered.
And I guarantee a week won't go by in your life. You won't regret walking out, letting them get the best of you.
You have shown yourselves just exactly who you are in here.
No matter what people say,
you were meant to be here tonight.
This is your game now, gentlemen.
Their time is done.
You make sure they remember forever.
Because you'll remember it for the rest of your lives.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Here for our Father's Day service. Welcome to those of you. It's great to have you at our house campuses joining us. I don't know about you, but when I see those kind of clips, I see those kind of movies, man, I get fired up. I get motivated. I'm ready to take on the world. And I want to do something that counts. I want to do something that matters, something significant. I want to do something big with my life. I mean, I just want to get in there and give it everything I've got. Now, when I was growing up, I never had a coach that was really good at giving those kind of talks, you know, kind of the pep talk, the motivational deal, rah-rah, all this deal. And if they had, I don't know, maybe it would have sounded a little hollow in the moment or whatever, but I was one of those guys that when I went out onto the field, man, I gave it everything that I had. I left it all out there. But the interesting thing was, once the game was over, I just always kind of had this sense that, you know, it's just a game. I mean, we get really hyped up about our favorite team when they're playing and everything, and I do too. I mean, I get excited, and we cheer them on, and we root for them, and all this stuff. But let's be honest. I mean, when the dust settles, it's really just a game, okay? I mean, these are like grown men or grown women wearing shorts or a football uniform or baseball uniform or swinging a golf club, making millions of dollars just to play a game. I mean, who wins or loses really doesn't matter in the big scope of things in the world. It's just a game. I'm telling you, I want to be a part of something that really does matter. I want to be a part of something that counts. I want to be a part of something that's significant, something that can make an ongoing, lasting difference, where it's more than just, you know, winning another trophy or getting another medal. And there is something in each of us where we want that. We want to be a part of something that matters. We want to be a part of something significant. We want to be a part of something that's big, something that counts, something that can really make a difference. In fact, mean, there is something in us guys, specifically, and this may sound a little corny to some of you, but there is something in us men, fathers, guys, and women, this may help you understand us a little bit better, but there is something in us that makes us want to be heroes. We want to be heroes. We want to be heroes to our wives. We really do. And we blow it. We don't get it right a lot of the time. In fact, we really mess up. But we want to be heroes. We want to be your knight in shining armor. We want to be heroes to our kids. Again, we don't get it right all the time. We blow it a lot of times, but we want to be heroes. What's interesting is that when we don't get it right and when we can't quite figure out how to get right, a lot of times what men will do as guys is we will compensate by shifting our focus to some area where we can get it right. That's why a lot of guys, when they don't seem to be getting it right in their marriage, they don't seem to be getting it right in the parenting deal, they'll kind of shift their focus to their careers, to their jobs. Because a lot of times, it's easier to succeed, it's easier to get it right in your career than it is in your family, with your kids, and in your marriage. Or we'll become like weekend warriors. You know, we'll go out and we'll get on a softball team or in a golf league, or we'll go out hunting or something. Or we'll kind of live vicariously through whatever our favorite team is. But what those things really are is those are really just substitutes for what God has called us to do and to be. To be a part of. See, God calls us, each of us, not just fathers. He calls all of us to be a part of an adventure. He calls us to be a part of something. And as dads, as fathers, as men, he does call us to be a part of something where we can leave a lasting legacy. We can be a part of something that allows us to be a part of transforming, helping people's lives be transformed. Invites us to be a part of something that can impact and make a difference in people's lives both now and throughout all eternity. Invites us to be a part of something, of leaving a lasting legacy that can transform our lives, be a part of something that can transform our kids' lives, not just another trophy, not just another championship, but to be a part of something that can transform their lives throughout all eternity, to help give them the tools that they need in order to become the best version of themselves, in order to be the person that God originally designed for them to be. Invites us to be a part of something that can transform our marriages, that can actually transform our community, that can transform our place of employment, that can transform our school environment. God invites us to be a part of his redemptive movement, of helping people connect with him and understand and get and experience that they can experience forgiveness and wholeness and they can get their lives on track. But here's the deal. If we are going to leave that kind of lasting legacy and we're going to be men, guys, especially, I mean, this is relevant to everybody today, but guys, men, fathers, if we're going to leave that lasting legacy, what we need to do is we really need to ratchet down on following Jesus. Because there is nothing more lasting. There is nothing that can make a greater difference. There is nothing that has greater transformational power in individuals' lives than what God can do in people's lives. And so what I want to do today is I want to look at the life of a guy who is an example of this. He was a guy who is committed to passionately following Jesus with his life. I want us to look at Paul, the Apostle Paul in Scripture, and some things that he had to say. Paul, for me, has always been kind of a hero of the faith. But the reality is, Paul was just an ordinary guy, like you, like me. But he's a guy who is constantly living his life. He just lived saying yes to God. Yes to God, over and over, again and again. He lives saying yes to God. Not, you know, well, God, tell me what you want me to do. Tell me, you know, let me see it in Scripture or whatever. And then I'll kind of think about it, and I'll decide whether I want to do it or not. No, it wasn't that. It was just yes. Before he even knew what God wanted him to do, the answer was basically yes. God, you show me what you want me to do, and the answer is yes. I want to do it. And so I want to look at this passage of scripture. If you have your Bible, you can open it to Philippians chapter 1. This is such an incredible passage of scripture. I mean, it has been so inspiring and motivating and challenging for me personally in my life. And so I want to give you a little context before we get into it. Paul writes this section of scripture, which is actually a letter. Philippians is a letter that he wrote to the Christians in the city by the name of Philippi. And at the time that Paul is writing this, he is actually in prison. He's in prison for living for God, basically, for sharing his faith. Now, none of us are really living worried about the fact that we might get arrested and put in prison, or we might lose our lives for living for God, for sharing our faith. But the reality is, a lot of us don't even realize this, but there's a lot more of that going on in our world today than we actually realize. But Paul was committed to doing whatever he could to expand the influence of God's message of hope, that people can actually connect with God and experience wholeness and forgiveness and have a relationship with God. And so he was constantly trying to start churches, and he just started churches all over the place to keep this message expanding so more and more people could come into a relationship with him. Now, the church, I mean, some of us, we even hear that word church, and immediately what starts coming to mind is a building. You know, kind of like where we are right here in Edwardsville. I mean, we think, man, this is a church. No. From what Scripture says, church is not a building. Church is people. The church is a gathering of people whose lives have been transformed by God. It's a gathering of people who love God, who love each other, and are wanting to do life together and help each other do life in just a messed up world, who are wanting to help others connect with God. And so Philippi was just one of the many churches that the Apostle Paul started in order to spread this message. And he was a guy who left a lasting legacy. Here's a guy who was making a difference. He was a part of something big. He was a part of what God was doing. And as we look at his life, there are at least three clear things. As we look at this passage of scripture in Philippians 1, there are at least three things that we need to do if we're going to gain the respect of the people in our lives, dads, fathers, men, if we're going to gain the respect of our kids, if we're going to leave a lasting legacy. There are three things that we see that we need to do. Number one, the first thing that we need to do is we need to live boldly. If you're going to leave a lasting legacy, you're going to get the recognition, the admiration from your kids. You need to live boldly. If we're going to be the heroes to our wives, we're going to be the heroes to our children, to our families, if we're going to do something significant, if we're going to do something that really matters, we have got to quit being passive, okay? We've got to quit playing it safe. We've got to quit being spectators. We've got to quit shrinking back from opportunities that come our way. What we need to do is we need to chase after God and determine that we are going to live passionately for him. Look at what Paul said, Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 20. He says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed. He's saying, I don't want to be ashamed. I don't want to be embarrassed of living my life for Christ. I don't want to let him down in any way. So I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage or boldness so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted, or Christ will be glorified. Christ will be made famous in my body, whether by life or by death. Paul was willing to die. Now think about that. He was willing to die to give people a chance to hear this life-transforming message of hope. He was willing to die to let people know that there was a God who loved them, who wants to connect with them, wants to have a relationship with them, to let people know that they can experience forgiveness and that God wants to help them get their life on track, to let them know that whatever it is that you've done in your life, and this is true for everyone today, whatever you've done in your life, there is a God who loves you. There is a God who cares about you. There is a God who has something better for you. And you want to be respected? Do you want to be admired? Do you want to be looked up to? Live passionately for something that matters. And there is nothing that matters more. There is nothing that can make a deeper, more lasting, more enduring, more life-altering, life-transforming, life-impacting difference than Jesus. Jesus working through the church, through the gathering of people, is the hope of the world. At one point in Matthew 16, Jesus said, I will build my church, my gathering, and nothing will prevail against it. There is nothing like the church when the church is working well. Now, the church isn't always working well, but when it is working well, it's the hope of the world. Jesus, in essence, said, I'm going to build this gathering of people that love God and each other, and I'm going to use them to impact the world. I'm going to use these imperfect people, which is what we are, to communicate my love, my life-transforming message. But some of us, either out of fear or embarrassment or because we're distracted by lesser things, have lost sight of what God has called us as Christians, okay? And if you're here and you're not a Christian, you're kind of checking things out and investigating. Today, this is going to give you a sense of what God invites us, the adventure that he invites us to be a part of. But some of us, we've lost sight of what God has invited us to be a part of. You see, it's just so, so easy to get comfortable and to just think that church is all about me. It's all about my comfort. It's all about my convenience. It's all about me feeling good. And so we walk away and go, well, did I feel good today? And we lose sight of what the church is really to be. You remember Blockbuster? You remember Blockbuster? We used to go into a store and we would rent movie videos. I mean, we actually went in to a brick and mortar building and rented. You remember this, right? That we actually rented videos. We would go in there. At its peak, Blockbuster was an incredible company, $5 billion company, some 9,000 stores, some 60,000 employees. I mean, they were like the epitome of success. And in the year 2000, a little startup company, it was an internet company by the name of Netflix, came to them and said, hey, would you guys buy us? We've got this new little thing where you can actually get your movies through the mail, and we'll mail them to you, and you can watch them at your convenience, and then you send them back, and there are no late fees. And Blockbuster says, forget that. We made millions of dollars off of late fees. People don't mind paying late fees. It blew them off. A few years later, interestingly, Netflix came back to them and said, hey, we've got something else beyond just mailing them these deals, and they can mail them back, the videos back. Now we've got something where they can download it and they can stream the movie into their home and into their computers and stuff, and they can just watch it whenever they want to. And Bart said, nah, we're not interested. You see, Blockbuster was too caught up in all of its past successes, and they didn't really understand what their business was. They thought they were in the video movie rental business. They didn't understand what they were really in was the home entertainment business. And in 2014, just a few years ago, Blockbuster, this enormously successful company, shut down its last store because they didn't understand what their business was. They got all cut up thinking, oh, we're just about renting movies to people. It's just movies. That's what we're about. They didn't understand what their business was. They didn't understand that they were in the home entertainment business. If they had understood that, they would probably still be in business today. We don't want to be the Blockbuster of churches. We don't want to get confused about what our business is. Our business as a church, we are not in the business of providing a comfortable, convenient place for the already convinced. We are in the business of reclamation and life transformation. We are in the business of helping people connect with God and experience a new kind of life. We're in the business of making followers of Jesus who make followers of Jesus, who in turn make followers of Jesus, who start churches, that start new churches, that start new churches, that start churches that make followers of Jesus, that make followers of Jesus, that start churches, that start other churches, that make followers of Jesus, that make followers of Jesus. That is what we are about as a church. And to do that, we've got to be willing to step out of our comfort zone. Okay, we've got to be willing to say yes to God, even when it's inconvenient, even when it means that we've got to inconvenience ourselves to be a part of a bigger good. We've got to be willing to step out of our comfort zone. We have got to live boldly for something big. You want to make a lasting difference? You want to leave a lasting legacy? You want to gain the respect, dads, men, guys, of your family, of your kids? Live boldly. Be a part of something. Do something big with your life. Be a part of something that matters. Second thing that we see in this past scripture, we see in the life of Paul, if we're going to leave a lasting legacy and gain the respect of the people in our lives, number two is we need to live passionately, all out for Jesus. Paul goes on in the very next verse and he makes a very simple, but a very, very powerful and profound statement. Very simple. Look at this. Verse 21, Philippians 1:21. Paul goes on and says, for to me to live is Christ. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul's saying, my whole life is about Jesus. If I live, if I survive prison, I mean, that's where he was. My life is Jesus. And if I die standing up for Jesus, sharing my faith, that's fine. That's okay. That's good. In fact, what he actually says is it's more than good. He says that's gain. It's great because my eternity is locked up. I have the assurance of eternal life. Again, men. Guys, fathers, and then this, again, it's relevant to everyone, but today, man, I want to challenge you guys. I want to challenge the fathers that are here. If you want your wife, if you want your kids, you want those that you work with to look up to you, stand for something. Live unapologetically, sold out to Jesus. Live passionately for him. We're not going to get it right all the time, and we'll blow it as husbands, we're gonna blow it as parents, we'll blow it on the job, and we will do and we will say some things. The truth of the matter is, they are not honoring, they're not glorifying to God, to Jesus. But when they see, when the people around you see that you are real, when they see that you're a person who believes in something, but you don't look down your nose at people and you don't think you're better than everybody else, but they see that you genuinely care. And they see that you're seeking to love and add value to people's lives. They may not agree. Listen to me. They may not agree with everything that you believe. In fact, there may be times where they kind of make fun of you and razz you over some of the things that you believe or you stand for. But they will respect you. And there may even be a time where in private they come to you because they respect you and say, hey, can I talk to you? And you may have the chance to point them towards Jesus. But what does that statement even mean? For to me, to live is Christ. What does that mean? know what it means? It means to live passionately in love with Jesus, saying yes to his will, saying yes to his ways. It's in essence saying, I want to live my life honoring and glorifying God. And look at this scripture. We're going to throw it on the screen. First Corinthians 10, verse 31 says, So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, look at that. You might underline, highlight that word, whatever. Whatever you do. I mean, that whatever, that includes everything, right? Everything. Whatever you do, do it all. Do it all for the glory of God. Whatever it is. In every arena, every area of your life, do it all for the glory of God. And living for the glory of God means to live with a kingdom mentality. It means to live reflecting his love, to live our lives, asking ourselves the question that's the theme that we have this year. What does love require of me? How can I intentionally add value to people's lives around me in every circumstance, in every situation? Live our lives asking ourselves that question, what does love require me in this situation? And acting on the answer to that question. Glorifying God means saying yes to Jesus. It means doing what he would do if he were in the situation that we're in. I mean, think about it. What if we lived each day owning, really owning that statement, for to me to live is Christ. For me, today, to live is Christ. Today, I'm going to live my life honoring and glorifying God, treating people the way that he would treat people. Having the boldness, the courage to share our faith when opportunities surface to do that. But you know what happens in a lot of our lives is we live with kind of a duality in our life. We kind of live kind of split lives, kind of divided lives is how we actually live. On the one hand, we have the sacred, okay? And then on the other side, we have the secular. If I can fit it in there. And we live with this kind of vision. There's a spiritual in our life where we pray. That's the spiritual side of our lives. And we glorify God in that area of our life. And Bible reading, or we're a part of a Bible study. We get together with others. We talk about the Bible. We'll go to church. And these are the spiritual components. We may volunteer somewhere at church to make a difference in people's lives. We'll give to the offering and things like that. I mean, there's that spiritual side, the spiritual component of our life. And in that realm, the sacred, the spiritual life, we're all about glorifying God and yay God, and we try to live for him. But then there's the secular side. And we live in this dichotomy, the split life. And here we've got our job. We don't invite God into our job. We've got our finances. You know, our house, our car, our investments, all the things that we do with our money. We don't want to invite God into that. We don't want to know what he has to say about that. So we have that area of our lives. We have all of our recreational activities that we're involved in our life. You know, our sports, our working out, our coaching, our movies, you know, the entertainment that we're involved in, the music that we listen to, all this kind of stuff. We've got our words, how we talk, how we treat people with our words. In life, we've got our sex life, you know, and in this whole area of our life, we just kind of leave God out of that. That we make the decisions in that area, and we live a divided life, a split life, with this dichotomy, this duality in our life. That is not what God ever intended for our lives to be. He doesn't want us, never expected, never intended for us to fall into this duality, this pattern. There's never intended for there to be this line of division that so many of us live with in our lives. Never intended for there to be this separation. What God intended was for everything in our lives to be sacred, everything to be spiritual, everything that we do to be done to bring him honor, to bring him glory in our lives. But for a lot of us, if we were to fill in that statement, you know, for me to live is blank, if we were to fill that in honestly, we'd have to say, for me to live is my career. For me to live is working out. Or maybe we'd say, for me to live is my family. Or for me to live is what I wear, or what I drive, or where I live. Or for me to live is fun. For me to live is pleasure. And those are all fine. I mean, they're good things. But if we center our life on those things, as good as they may be, they will let us down. So let me ask you, what's it going to take for you to be able to honestly, authentically say, as the Apostle Paul said, for me to live is Christ. For me to live is Jesus. Make Jesus the center of your life. Make him the driving force, the highest priority in your life. Live passionately, all out for Jesus. Now, please understand, following Jesus isn't always easy, okay? In fact, if it's always easy and convenient and comfortable, you're probably not following Jesus. You're probably not on the right path. You're not on the right road. There are times where it will mean inconvenience. There are times where it will be uncomfortable, and it will take sacrifices. But we can't allow our fears to hold us back. If we hold on to fear, we will miss out on the big things that God is wanting to do in and through our lives. But when we loosen our grip and we let go of the fear and we begin to trust God, we're going to see God do more than we can ever imagine or dream or ask of God. I mean, it's kind of like a trapeze artist. Like a trapeze artist, we need to trust the catcher. When a trapeze artist swings out, they let go, and they've got to trust the catcher to catch them. And what we need to do in our life is we need to step out in faith and trust God to catch us. But the mental image that a lot of us seem to kind of live with is kind of like this picture, this image right here. Okay? We're like, man, there's no way. You know, God isn't going to catch me. Man, I'm not going to make it. And then so we go, man, if I step out in faith and I make this sacrifice, I may miss out on something. If I forgive this person, they may hurt me again. God isn't going to be there. You know what? Things may not always go the way that you expect them to when you step out in faith. But you still got to trust God, and he will catch you. Every time. So if we're going to gain the respect of those in our lives, if we're going to live and leaving a lasting legacy, we need to live boldly. Again, men, guys, fathers, you need to live boldly, and you need to live passionately. Live passionately for something big, something that really matters. Live passionately for Jesus. And then there's a third thing that we need to do. If we're going to leave a lasting legacy, we're going to gain the respect of our kids, of the people, of our spouse. We need to live producing fruit. We need to live producing fruit. And if we're going to produce fruit, we've got to say yes to Jesus. See, saying yes to Jesus paves the way to a life of lasting purpose and passion and adventure. It goes on in verse 22. The Apostle Paul says, if I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. The one thing that was crystal clear to Paul was that if he kept living in this world, in this life, he wanted his life to be fruitful. And what we need to understand is that God calls each of us, every one of us here, he calls us to be fruitful, not just to sit back and take it easy. not just live comfortable spectator kind of lives. God calls us, each of us, to be fruitful, to invest and love and replicate ourselves into others as we expand his kingdom. He wants us to be, expects us to be a part of that. So he says, if I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. And he goes on, yet what shall I choose? I do not know. Verse 23, I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. He's saying, man, if I die, you know, the truth of the matter is, that's even better. Because I'm going to be with Christ. I mean, that's better than this life with all the pain and hurt and heartache and brokenness. But he goes on in verse 24 and says, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Verse 25, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. I mean, wouldn't it be cool to be known as a person who inspires joy and progress in other people's lives and in the people around you? And then skip on down to verse 27, and here Paul throws out a challenge to the people then, but also to a challenge for each of us. In verse 27, it says, whatever happens, it says, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. The gospel means the good news of Christ. He's saying, live in such a way that your life draws people to Jesus. Instead of repelling people, live in such a way that you're a magnetic force that draws people towards Jesus. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. And Paul had like a laser-like focus on making sure that the gospel, the good news, continued to spread. And we need to live our lives as followers of Jesus. If we are Christians, we need to live with that same laser-like focus ourselves. You see, as a church, as a gathering of followers of Jesus, we said, we don't want to keep the gospel. We don't want to keep the good news to ourselves. We don't want to hoard that. We're going to do everything we can to expose people to God's life-transforming message of hope, whatever it takes. We need to do whatever we can to help people establish a relationship with God that's real and it's personal. I mean, that's what's available to them. So we've made, as a church, we made the unselfish decision to start new churches, to start new campuses where more people can come to know Jesus and experience the life-transforming message of Christ, where they can experience this new life, this transformed life that God has for them. See, what we would love to do as a church, we would love to start 4 new campuses, 4 new churches in the next 10 years. Now, that's not going to be easy. But if we were to do that, if we could do that, man, the number of people that we could reach for Christ would be incredible. What could happen? And here's what we would like. We would love just to see this happen. Here's Metro Edwardsville, okay? And what we would love to see happen over the next 10 years is we would love to be able to start another 4 churches. We already have 1 additional church, another campus in Vandalia. We would love to start a number more. Well, not Vandalia, just another. So we'd have 5 in 10 years. And let's just say that over that period of time, and in the next coming years, we started these 4 additional campuses. So we had 5. Let's just say that they grew, over time, they grew to 500. And then the next 10 years, what if each of these churches right here, what if they started another 5 campuses, each of them? Start another 5. Oh, and let's just say that on this next level, over the next 10 years, these churches grew to, well, I'm going to do it all the way across, but all these are new campuses, new churches, and those grew to 300. Look at what could happen. I mean, we're running around 1,500 as a church. These grew to around 500. Some of them might grow to be bigger than this location right here in Edwardsville, that would be 2,500. We started these and they grew to 300 over time. Someone would probably grow larger than that, but if they only grew to that size, that would be 7,500. In 20 years, we'd be running 11,500 people. That's how many people we could reach as a church. If we just stay focused right where we are over the next 20 years, we might be able to double. We might go to 3,000. We might go to 4,500. We might triple, go to 4,500. But what we could do, if we become a multiplying, a replicating church, if we will invest, say, I'm willing to sacrifice, I'm willing to step out of my comfort zone to be a part of helping us start new churches, new campuses. We're planning, we're trying to start our next one this fall to be a part of that. Here's another visual I want you to see of what we're trying to do to make this a reality. Here's what we're trying to do. Here's Edwardsville, right here. Our sphere of influence to reach people who are disconnected from God, who are unchurched, is about 15 to 20 minutes from where we are. That's about how far unchurched people will drive to go to church. 15, maybe 20 minutes. I mean, church people will drive further than that. But for unchurched, that's about how far they'll drive. And so we said, what we want to do is we want to start new campuses. We want to start new churches. And so on the edge, we want to push ourselves out to the edge of that and start new campuses. That's what we're trying to do with our next campus. It's just going to be within like 15 minutes, 10, 15 minutes of where we are. And some people wonder, why so close? Because we're going to stretch our sphere of influence with that. And there's an overlapping tear. And people are like, well, why so close? Why this overlap? Because what we want to do as a church is we want to be close enough so we can pull people from our established churches, from our established campuses. We need 100 to 150 people from our established campus to provide the critical mass to start another campus. And then that campus will have this sphere of influence. And then that campus, we want to be able to do the same thing. And they will push out and start another campus. There'll be overlap, and we'll pull 100, 150 people from here. And we'll be doing that same thing here and increase that influence, and we'll pull 100, 150 people from there. And we're going to continue to do that on an ongoing basis to continue to spread, to communicate this message. Why? So lives can be transformed by Christ. See, what we need right now is we need another 50 to 100 people who will say, I'll go. Send me. I want to be a part of starting the next campus. I want to be a part of starting the next church. I want to be a part from there of starting the next church. And you know what? At times, it's not going to be convenient. It's not going to be comfortable. It's about having the willingness to make a sacrifice, to be a part of the adventure, to be a part of something new. Instead of saying, I'm just going to take it easy and play it safe and be comfortable. We want to be a church that is multiplying, that is a sending church, where we're constantly pushing ourselves to start new churches, to reach more people for Christ, to share this message of faith. That takes us living boldly. That takes us living passionately. It takes us saying, man, I want to live a fruitful life, not just live a convenient life where everything is easy. You see, what a lot of people have is they have a mentality of the church as being kind of a museum for saints. It's like a museum for Christians, okay? For people who have received Christ, who have cleaned up their life, and they look good, everything's good for them. And so a lot of people are like, the church is just that. It's just a convenient place for people to come. A more accurate description of what God intended for the church to be, based on what Scripture says, is a hospital for sinners. What do they do these days in the hospital once you start recovering a little bit? They get you up and walking, and as quick as possible, they get you out, and they say, you know what? You can recover. Once you get the basic stuff in place, man, go home and keep recovering there. What we want to do as a church is we want to provide an environment, a gathering, where people can come, and they can find spiritual healing Okay? But once they're up and they're going, they're not that they've got their act together, because none of us do. None of us are perfect. Once they're up and they can start moving, what we want to do is we want to help those individuals become paramedics who will go out and will help others who have been wounded and hurt in life, who've been infected with the poison of sin in their life. And we want to help them find spiritual healing and restoration and wholeness and purpose. And then for those individuals, to become paramedics who go out and help others find spiritual healing and restoration and wholeness and a life of purpose. It's not just about my convenience, my comfort, coming in, doing my spiritual ditty, and then going on and doing whatever I want to do. We want to be a sending church. We want to be a multiplying church. We want to be a church that is making a difference. We want to be a part of what God is doing in the world. And this is what God has been doing. This is what God is doing in the world today. So here's my challenge to you this Father's Day. Whether you're a father, whoever you are, here's a challenge. Take a step of faith and do something big with your life. Take a step of faith. Do something big, something that matters with your life. Help us be a replicating, a multiplying movement, and get this going and starting these churches. Sign up to be a part of starting our next church, our next campus. Sign up to be a part of one of our house campuses that are the core group that we're forming already to start the next campus. Determine in your life, you're going to be a part of something that's making a difference. Embrace the risk. Never allow your fears, your excuses to be greater than your faith. Saying yes to Jesus paves the way for a life of purpose and passion and adventure. And we're going to wrap up. We're going to pray. If you want to do something big with your life, you want to do something that matters, something that is significant, you want to leave a lasting legacy, there is nothing bigger that you can do. There is nothing more impacting that you can be a part of than what God is doing, God's movement in the world. And when you jump on board with God, you will find life of purpose and passion and adventure. And fathers, you will be an incredible example and inspiration to your kids. Would you bow your heads with me? God wants you to live a life of incredible purpose and adventure. But it all starts by saying yes to Jesus. And if you've never done that today, right where you are, this Father's Day, you can pray. Right where you are, you'd pray and say, God, today, right now, God, I want to say yes to you. I want to follow Jesus with my life. I want you to be the Savior. I want you to be the forgiver of my life. Maybe you're here today and you've been away from church, you're coming back, or maybe you've been here, but you've just kind of been sitting. You said, I want to be a part of something that matters. I want to be a part of something big. God, I want to say yes to you and what you're involved, what you're doing in the world. I want to be a part of this movement. I want to make a difference. I want to leave a lasting legacy. I want people to be able to look at my life and respect me because I'm living boldly and passionately and being fruitful in what I'm doing. You just express that to God. God, I thank you for what you're doing in individual lives all across this place. What you're doing in the lives of people at our house campuses. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.